This is Marcy Schwartz and Shirley Stolzer interviewing Janice Friedman for National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project 2. It is March 2nd, 1995. Janice, would you like to introduce yourself and perhaps give us your address?
This is Janice Friedman, and I'm very flattered that I have two such lovely guests. My guests are in my store, Maternity Fashions, 204 Fifth Avenue, Buell Building, downtown Pittsburgh.
Good.
Excellent. Okay. Janice, what I'd like to do is just start off with your immediate family to get some family background, where you were born and who your parents were and if you had any siblings. If you could share that with us.
Okay. Just talk?
Yeah, just talk.
Okay.
Nobody's listening.
All right. I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, August the 26th, 1925. I was actually the second of my mother and father's children, because the first one in those days died of pneumonia. And my father was, he had three names. His real name, which was Jesse, his adopted name, which was Jacob, and the name that people called him was Jack. So he had three names, but we called him Dad.
And your maiden name was?
Siegel, S-E-G-A-L. Yeah. My father was illustrious. He was like one of the heroes of Market Square.
Yeah?
He founded the New Diamond Market
in 1929,
when he didn't have enough money to own the whole store. He got a hold of the Glicks from Homestead and Mr. Alex Harris from East Liberty, and thus the New Diamond Market was born. And my father was retained always and had a third-in-command job there until he just died of lung cancer. But in the meantime, there isn't anyone on Market Square who still doesn't remember him. And mother came here in 1909, being born in 1900 in Lithuania, on a boat all by herself. And she sailed into Baltimore.
She was 9 years old.
9 years old. She sailed into Baltimore and was taken in by Rosella Broff's mother, Mattie Bass. And somehow in those days, nobody could quite figure out whether you were directly related, but it's amazing how everybody cared for one another once they were in the States. From there, my mother went to live with her mother's sister, who was Sophia Schlesinger, from L.H. Schlesinger and Company, which in those days they had a general store in Aliquippa. So not only did mother live with them, but they raised her right along through her life, from Stanton Avenue to Northumberland Street, where she married in the living room on Northumberland Street, because my father lost his father right before the big wedding plans at the Anderson Hotel, and that was all X'd out, and so they were married in the living room. And then being very close, living with Lena, who was the oldest of the Schlesinger girls, Aunt Lena wore the dress in August, and my mother wore it in July, the same wedding gown.
Okay.
But it was a nice happening, and I feel that the Schlesingers are very much part of my family. I do call them aunt and uncle, although they are all cousins.
What is the Schlesinger's first name?
Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, mm-hmm. And that was L-H, Louis H. Schlesinger.
And this was your... her mother's sister.
Her mother's sister, yes. My mother was an orphan. Both her mother and father were dead. And the story has it that her father had a heart attack and her mother caught fire and burned. I mean, it was not very nice. That would leave... my oldest uncle was from Detroit, and he came to the United States, even served in World War One.
He
came
one.
Her older brother lives in Detroit. And married one of the top Jewish families in New York, the Shrivers. Everybody knows them.
Was he here prior to your
mother
coming?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So your mother was the last
the second. And then they sent for my Aunt Clara Bluestone, my Uncle Sidney Schatz, And Irving Schatz, the youngest of the family. So that was, they all came together.
How do you spell Schatz?
S-C-H-A-T-Z. That was my mother's maiden name.
S-C-H.
A-T-Z. But apparently, because my mother had a grandmother, she did not come over with the grandmother. They sent for the grandmother when my Aunt Clara and Uncle Sid and Irving came over. This grandmother's name was Geffen, G-E-F-F-E-N. And they are all related. They're all from the same winemaking shtetl, or whatever they called it, in Lithuania. And every Geffen is related, including the multimillionaire.
Today, too, they're all related.
They're all related. Do you know them?
Yeah, I know some in New York.
Do they all come from Lithuania?
I don't know. But
yeah, from one family. From one family in the various offshoots. Because I know the branch in Canada, and they couldn't be... Canada, and then I know the branch in London, and this Lucy's a lady. Her father was a rabbi in the West End Synagogue. Uh-huh. His name was Geffen.
And there are a couple Geffens who are rabbis.
I know Rella, really. Well, that's Rella's family.
Right.
You know Rella?
No.
The best. She was the best. But the history of this is very sketchy, and it's all hearsay, and it's all was. My father...
Now, excuse me, did your mother... Nobody came with her on
no,
the road?
She was alone. She was alone. Obviously, they attached someone to look out for her, maybe on the boat.
But when she
it was
got
on the SS Bremen, first class.
And
she was not in steerage.
But there were plans. There was plans where somebody was
and
here to
would
pick
meet her
up.
She was a phenomenal person.
Well, she sounds like an interesting person. And then what did she?
Well, when she came here, she got a job.
You make it easy.
In Horns. Because her last name was Schatz, S-C-H-A-T-Z. In those days, Horns did not employ any Jewish employees. But I guess she was not Semitic looking or whatever. She was very pretty. And she worked in Horns.
What was in her
the,
first
in
name?
In the lampshade department. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of handwork. She was good at that.
What was your mother's first name?
Ida. Ida Lee Siegel. Schatz Siegel.
And one other thing before you go on, what was your dad's birthday?
May 29th, 1896.
Is he from Pittsburgh? Was he born in Pittsburgh?
No, he was born and came over at probably about the age of two.
With his parents?
Yeah, and his older sister, Mary Ager Siegel. Mary Siegel Ager.
From Lithuania?
They came over from Lithuania. I happened to ask Irma, and they lived in a funny little town. Not Ploiesti, but some place where Jews lived.
But he came with his family.
He did come with his family, and they came under a passport of the name Siegel, S-E-G-A-L. Our real name was Labowitz. Either Lebowitz or Labowitz. In those days, you took what you could to get out. Mm-hmm. And they got out. And that would have been my dad, oldest sister Esther, Aunt Mary, Aunt Sarah. That would be just, and another brother. Five.
So two sisters?
Three girls and two boys in the Siegel family.
I'm interested in knowing why they went from Labowitz or Lebowitz to Siegel.
Because that was the only passport available to get out of
Romania.
They
just found a passport.
They just found a passport.
Was it L-A-B? Labowitz?
They don't know that either. L-E-B or L-O-B. Or, you know, they don't really know. It wouldn't be Lebowitz. It wouldn't be Lebowitz or Labowitz. But there were nine aunts and uncles. There were nine brothers, and one of them landed in Winnipeg. And we got a call one day.
This was your grandparents.
My grandparents in that generation. We got a call one day from this person. She says, I'm looking for Mary Siegel Ager, Aunt Mary. Carla Singer McIver. She was Group W, Group 2. The woman who thought up the Evening Magazine, mm-hmm. and she found us. We had her, we sort of got to know her and her mother, Jean, and it was interesting, and she was telling us that some of the brothers, her great uncles, settled in North Dakota. I mean, this is when you talk about losing roots of families.
Right.
I mean, if
right.
you have the patience, it's wonderful.
Yes, it's beautiful to have it written for you.
Our little family, though, started in my parents' generation. That's where it started.
Right.
And with all of the Schlesingers, that was like when you had a party, you had a group.
That's beautiful. So you're related to other Schlesingers in Pittsburgh?
S-L-E-S-I-N-G. We don't have anybody.
One S? S-L-E-S? Because there's another family with two S's.
No, that's not a... I was the oldest of my parents' living children. And 5.5 years later, my mother had Ivan. And 5.5 years later, my mother had Richard. And the funny story is that the youngest brother was never paid for. Dr. Stanton said, if you're pregnant, she was having her cycle regularly, you're free. Then that child's free.
And I mean, she was.
Oh, well, they were
was.
Such good friends at this point that it was, you know, hysterical.
So you were the oldest of three?
Oh, yes. And there was so much space in between. It's no wonder the kids are close today. Mm-hmm. They have so much in common. Yesterday, my brother called from Florida. I was thrilled.
Are both brothers in Florida?
No, Ivan's in Mount Lebanon. And he has two lovely daughters, one a doctor and one a school teacher.
Not only bright, very
bright. It's sweet and fun. I love him.
And Richard?
Richard has four children, two girls, by a former marriage to Sharon Rubenstein, who doesn't talk to him and locked him out of the house and left in the middle of the night with the kids to go home to her parents. You can delete this, if you will.
No, I'm not.
And then he married a little gal who was brilliant. She was a bookkeeper from Akron. She converted, and I'll never forget my mother. My mother said, you don't have to convert. We love you no matter what you are. And this little gal made my brother. He lost his job at Robert Bruce just at that time when people were losing their job. And if you can wait a minute, I want to show you their production.
Okay.
Because their production is special. They have two sons now. Jason.
Oh.
He's going to be a senior next year at West Virginia. Now, he plays football.
Look at
and
him.
That's Todd, and he looks just like my little
brother. Beautiful.
So everything good comes out of life.
So in his second marriage, he has two boys.
Yes, and he never has seen his girls.
Best of all. He's never seen them?
No. I hope he's. It was civilized people and civilized lives together.
Mm-hmm. So.
Speaking and happy and this and that. It's unfortunate for Dick.
But he's made up for it.
Oh, has he ever? They're all happy. They're great kids.
Good.
You've certainly mentioned a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody that we've forgotten? Perhaps a rabbi or a scholar or a community leader or anybody?
No,
else?
I had a very an aunt who never had children, and she was unable to. And she was like my surrogate mother. I mean, when I started to smoke, I'd do it in her apartment. She was wonderful. She never worked, and my uncle had a hardware store in the north side, and they were just like parents to me. So I was lucky in growing up.
And then
we had a whole gang of people that we grew up with, and we're still friends.
Is this aunt on the maternal or paternal side?
My mother's sister. Aunt Clara Bluesky. And it's interesting that all of our friends, even one of my closest friends is Patsy Steiner. Paul is her name now. And she lives in Los Angeles. I call her once every 3 weeks. And we just keep in touch. And it's glorious.
Well, when we talk about home life in your early years, it sounds like you had quite a full...
I was always involved.
Okay. Why don't we talk
about... Before you get to that, let's hear about... when her parents met and were married.
Okay.
All I know is that they were married on...
They met at Cambridge Springs, Pennsylvania. Then the singles used to go up there.
Where's Cambridge Springs?
It's right near Erie.
Okay.
It's right near Meadville.
Okay.
It's where they used to drink the mineral water, but it's where the singles went in those days. They talk about how bad the kids are today. There was a group called the Summer Outing Association. And this group used to camp along the river that led to New Kensington, that have their own little summer cottages there, and they had plenty of hooligans. in the 20s and 30s, I might add, from the old stories that you hear about people talking. And
so they met there.
But my mother and dad met in Cambridge Spring. Mm-hmm. And she was on vacation with Evelyn Tisherman, the old Tisherman's bakery, which was on the hill. And Evelyn married her husband. She met him there, Sam. And my mother met my dad. And well, the rest is history. And to this day, the Fleischers, who owned the hotel, always talk about my mother and dad. Makes you feel funny, you know.
Yes,
it really does. No, I mean about how they remember.
Yes.
We're getting to that point where everybody's going to black out pretty soon.
Yeah, right.
But that had fond memories for them. Mm-hmm. And my parents always went on vacation, sometimes together, sometimes not. My dad liked prize fighting, and he liked Florida, and my mother didn't care to go that much. So it takes me.
Oh. What was your mother working when she met your dad?
Oh, she worked her
what
whole life.
What did she work?
She went from Horns up to Kaufman's, and she worked in the Epicure department, which was on the balcony. She even waited on Lillian Russell.
Oh, my.
In the early 19s there. And she was very stunning. And then from there, she worked for Maxine's. She sold for Lou and Jaime Azen. Oh, Aunt Clara worked for old Nan Azen in the furs forever. Max adored her.
When you say Maxine, is that the dress shop?
Yes. Remember Maxine?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she worked there. And then the war came along, and she did nothing but volunteer work. In the middle of the night with the air raid sirens.
What type of volunteer work did she do?
AWVS, American Women's Volunteer Services. They used to go to the canteen at the Pennsylvania Station and serve the boys donuts and coffee. There were a lot of wonderful volunteers from Pittsburgh who did that. Mm-hmm. Jane Epstein did that, and Mrs. Dodds. She's gone.
Yeah, there were always
lots of people
during
who cared.
World War II.
It was a much different community.
We're going to get to that.
It was a much different world. So when did they get married? We didn't even get to that.
I think they got married in 1922. Yeah, because then the little girl that they had passed away like a year and a half.
You didn't know her. Oh, you were
not
born
at
after
all.
Her.
No. And then I came along, you know, in 25. Mm-hmm. Me and Paul Newman.
That's very nice.
That's good company.
Good company.
Yes. Right.
And my real hair looks like his. Want to see?
Yeah, that's nice.
It's like a baby fine. And nice. I'm letting it grow in, but it's too cold without it. Ooh.
Yeah, without some on you. Did they live in...
They lived? This is interesting. They lived on McKee Place.
Oh.
And then, don't forget, my father married my mother and had the three others. He had all, and the grandma, and Bobby Geffen.
Oh, so
he lived
with you?
Oh, yeah. And then they moved to Whiteman Street in about 1927. And they lived on the row on the same side of the street as Melvin, from Melvin. The third house in from Melvin Street, 22 something, and then they moved across the street to the first house in the park. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Pocusset Street, all within a block, within
right.
a half a block radius, 5703 Pocusset. And then for 1 year we lived at 6381 Monitor, and then we lived at 5500 Raleigh Street, and then we lived at 5551 Beacon, and I was married from the Beacon Street house. Not in the house, but I mean I was engaged there and everything else.
That was the last house. Was that the last move that your parents also made? I mean, was that...
Yes.
How long
my father
were you
died
in
there. Mother moved out of there in 60. My dad died in April of 66, right at Passover. And she was out of the house soon. She did it real fast. And moved to the Wendover where she lived and eventually died in 86.
So she lived about 20 years there too.
Oh yeah, with an absolute proof that cancer does not have to kill, because they discovered a cancer in her in 62, and 86 she went of an altogether other cause. She was very well cured.
How about your dad? Was he?
Dad died of lung cancer because he smoked 4 packs of Chesterfield cigarettes every day and never ate a thing. He was darling, my dad. Ivan looks just like him.
Hmm.
I keep him here because he said I'd never make this movie. I think Ivan looks like my dad.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, that kind of long face.
Long face.
Her
was 69. Could have had lots of good years.
He was 69.
Mm-hmm. He used to say to me, if I have it, will you tell me?
Did you?
He wasn't going to go to California now. He never saw California, and that's all he wanted to do, was in California.
Hmm.
He had a great life that satisfied him.
What did he actually do at the diamond market?
Oh, he was the buyer. He was the first person, this is so interesting, to bring cut-up chickens to Pittsburgh.
Oh.
He used to get on the train and go out to Wisconsin and buy the finest in dairy products. Then I lost my fourth girl, and he would say to me, do you want to go over to Cleveland with me? I said, to go to that cold storage place? He said, yeah. And I said, well, I've been through it. He said, you don't have to go through it. Just go ride with me. So we would do that. Everybody knew him. He had a great deal of respect in the United States.
That's
really,
nice.
Everybody knew him.
But he did the first on cut-up chickens.
He was the first person to bring them in, and he also... This is a very honest-to-God true story. When the Market Square came down, Bob Woolley always admired my dad. Always.
That's the fish place.
Yeah. Admired him. So he came over and he said, Jack, where am I going to go? He said, you're going to go up the strip. He said, Morris is up the strip already, Banquet. And you're going up the strip too. And you're going to be just fine. Bob goes like this every time. He says, if it wasn't for your dad, I would have been nothing. I said, you know, you make me feel good when you say that.
Right.
And he does, because
nice?
It's networking. Your whole life is a network. And
right.
If you say one nice word to someone or do one nice thing, you
right.
get it back 65 right. times if you're looking to get anything back. You know.
So he stayed in that.
He loved it.
Listen,
he put the three of us through college.
Yes.
We all had whatever we wanted. I
yes.
mean, we weren't spoiled. We all worked. But the point was that he was, we
yes.
were always proud of him, you know, never ashamed or
that's
this one or that one. He's a really good guy.
That's beautiful.
What did your dad do prior to, or how did he get into?
Want to know?
Yeah.
He worked on the boats on the river down here. He was 7 or 8 years old. He wasn't much for schooling. And he would go pick up chickens in Aliquippa and come back and sell them.
On his own.
On his own.
Turn me back.
Oh, we have that lady coming in.
I don't know.
Jane Alexander.
Oh, nice.
For NCJW.
It was so nice of him. Well.
Okay, so he worked on the boat as a youngster.
To make a living, to support his mother and father, because his father sold insurance then, and everybody thought insurance men were racketeers. Even that was the infancy of the Rogel family too. I mean, you had to be a hustler to sell insurance
right.
in the 1900s. Are you kidding?
Hmm.
So he was that kind of a wiry little kid. He had an eye for business, and then he worked for the A.L. Brom Company. E-R-A-H-M, who was, I don't think there's any history about that kind of family around, but they were on Lower Penn Avenue. I guess in
what
the
did
strip,
they have?
Meats and chickens and that stuff. They were purveyors, I guess you call them. But always, always associated in the food business, nothing else.
When did your grandma die? Your Bubby?
I don't remember.
You don't know, but yeah. before your mother.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I think she died. She could conceivably have died in the 20s. Definitely.
Okay. So you don't really remember her?
Not at all.
Oh, you don't remember?
No. I remember my dad's mother slightly. She was not nice.
Oh.
Drive my mother crazy. My dad would come home, did you eat, Mom?
No. She's not feeding me.
Well, they were different then. There were personalities and a lot of inhibiting. Today we're modern women of the 90s.
Did your father have sisters and brothers?
Yes. He had Aunt Sarah, who was the youngest, Sarah Sharp. She's one of the founders of Bethel Ladies whatever.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Samuel Sharp. They lived on a big hill.
Oh, there are big hills in Southville.
Down a big hill.
So
and
that
Harlan
was
Goldstein
sister.
Was their daughter.
Who?
Harlan Goldstein.
Was and, the Sharp's daughter.
Yes. That's all they had. This was Harlan. And my Aunt Mary Ager lived in Coriopolis. Her husband Max died at 30 in 1936. E-G-E-R. They're all that
Ager.
Jewelry family, and everybody died of heart disease early. And today people don't die of heart
and
disease.
And she lived where?
In Coriopolis, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. You were all spread around.
Right. It used to be a journey to get there on a Sunday in the Packard with the velour inside. Remember those seats?
Those
awful seats. And the brother lived in Chicago, and we didn't know.
You did not
know. And Aunt Esther was the oldest one, and her children were as old as my father, which was interesting. And I understand that one of them, Hyman, he was the vice president of the Fidelity Trust Company in Philadelphia, is retired and made some very bad investments. He's washed out. And there's no one else left. There's no one else of all of her children left at all.
No.
No. We were not
so
families of distinction. We were just plain people, you know.
But you obviously didn't have as much contact with them as with your maternal.
No, I didn't, right. Because
I see that.
My great-aunt, Sophia, well, anyhow, she was killed at the corner of Negley and Wilkins Avenue in 1944, the spring of 44, and I was still a freshman at Pitt. And she absolutely, she'd say, I'm so proud of you. You're the first person to go to college. She was like,
were you the first?
Yeah, and all sides of the family.
But your brothers then went.
Oh, yeah, my brothers went. Both college graduates.
Did you know your paternal grandparents?
I knew my dad's.
Did you actually meet them is what I meant.
Well,
know.
She lived with us a short time, and then we had to put her in the Jewish home.
I see.
My dad's mother. I named two children after her.
Oh, you did?
Two girls. And I wanted to tell you that I was the first graduating class of Davis.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then we went on to Colfax, and from Colfax ended at 6th grade.
Mount
and
Davis.
Then over to, Davis ended at 3rd, and 4, 5, 6 in Colfax, and then Alderdice, 7th
Colfax
on.
Colfax was the rest.
4, 5, 6.
Mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6. And then Alderdice was next, and from Alderdice early on, in the 8th grade, I became one of the original drum majorettes. There were 16 of us.
Yeah.
We were very close, and through the 40s, we raised over $1 million.
Oh, my.
Yeah. By twirling and going to the different types. I'm talking about the 4 years
right.
of the war. Through war bonds, we would sell war bonds, and we were like, good. We were still in touch. We had not lost any of the drum majors. We lost Coach Irwin. Is that unreal?
That is.
To this day. And we can put our finger on everybody. I have all the phone numbers.
Wow.
Do you ever have reunions? I mean, do you
yes,
ever
we went, we did take Coach out. Thank goodness he didn't linger or wasn't sick. He just died.
Who is this?
Coach John H. Irwin, I-R-W-I-N. He was the man who had the winning basketball teams at Taylor Alderdice High School. So if y'all recall how you walked in the hall and saw those pictures, that was because of Coach. It was great.
Tell me, did Alderdice go up to 12th?
Oh, all the way to 12th.
Right from 7th to 12th. Right.
And in there, we did our own activities, you know. We belonged to clubs, and we...
What kind of clubs went on in Alderdice?
Not anything of any particular note, because we were pretty tied up with
majoring.
Twirling, yeah. It was a lot of responsibility. It wasn't the football games, it was winter stuff. But that wasn't as impressive to me as going to college. And I loved college. I loved the University of Pittsburgh.
Which year did you start?
September 43.